Welcome to We Like What We Like. My name is Javier Augusto. With me, as always, is Adelaide Laurie.
Hello, everyone.
Now, Adelaide, I want to go ahead and jump right in to what we liked this week.
Sure.
What did you like this week?
Mine is super selfish, but I'm just going to throw it out there because, you know, the moments that you make for yourself are the ones you should share as well. So I just finished making my cover of my third book. So that's step one of the process. And I'm pretty proud of it.
Okay. That's actually, yeah, it sounds selfish if you're not a writer, but I'm sure if you're a writer, that's an amazing thing.
I am a writer and I make my own covers.
I don't know. I think, you know, you're not keeping kayfabe right now.
Oh.
Not having a professional artist do it or anything like that.
No, not yet. More followers, more readers. I will hire someone.
Fantastic. I'm going to jump in with what I like then.
Sure,
so
what'd
we're
going to
go
like?
Very personal, and I am a mark. I am an absolute mark for that. And that is that I...
Someone didn't turn off his phone.
I'm a little annoyed by that. I apologize. My day job has been rough, but I will say this. I actually, the teaser trailer for House of the Dragon from HBO dropped this week, and yep, I hated season 8 of Game of Thrones, but I'm still excited for House of the Dragon. I know. Start jeering now.
Sometimes it's the little things. Can I add to my I like moment?
Sure, absolutely.
I like that you put your phone on mute.
I am doing that right now. Okay, now, since I'm completely professional, we're going to leave that in.
Absolutely. Day in a life.
Yeah, you know what? This is what it is. You know, I've got so many.
Yeah.
I've got so many, you know, media empires to conquer.
All right, we're going to close this off right now. So thank you, everybody, and
enjoy the show. The card for this evening is the debuting Bobby Fish and Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship in an open challenge.
That's interesting. I don't know who Bobby Fish is.
He was part of the Undisputed Era with Adam Cole, baby, who was his leader on the Undisputed Era. So that's going to be exciting.
All right. So we're not doing this in any particular order, yeah?
No order in particular. I just like saying that one first.
Okay. Then we have the casino ladder match, which will probably be the last one.
That might be the main event, yeah. Okay. Who's in it?
We got Jon Moxley, Pac, Andrade, Lance Archer, Orange Cassidy, Matt Hardy, and then the Joker.
Well, I don't know who the Joker is going to be.
I'm excited.
I am super excited to find out. I'm so excited. Actually, you know what? This is when I mark out. I do love reveals.
I love it.
All right. Then we've got Hikaru Shida. Holy Shida. Versus Serena Deeb for Shida's 50th win.
Trying to get that 50.
Trying to get that 50. All right.
And then we have the Elite versus Jurassic Express with Bryan Danielson and Christian Cage. Now I changed my mind. Maybe that's the last one.
Oh, that would be a good main
event. That's a good one.
Well, I mean, because you're going to consider it's the Young Bucks, Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, baby.
And Kenny Omega.
Right.
To go against
Bryan Danielson and Jurassic Express. You know I love.
I'm going to tell you that's going to be one super kicking match.
All right. Let's see what's next.
Let's see what's up. Adelaide, I have to tell you, you were wrong.
I'm happy to be wrong.
The Super Elite versus Jurassic Express with Bryan Danielson and Christian Cage, got it first time, was the very first match.
It was.
Wow.
And it was, I mean, it started off really with a bang, other than there was no boom.
And no, yeah, no
there
entrances.
There was no jungle. And I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, you know what? I was a little annoyed with the Philadelphia crowd not selling the Adam Cole Bay Bay when they say Adam Cole's in the match, but he got his spot later.
Yeah, I just meant the entrances.
Yeah, there was no entrances. And those are some of the best entrances in AEW.
No.
So, in fact, Young Bucks, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, Jungle Boy, Brian Danielson, Christian Cage's entrances, meh.
No, you're full of it right now. You got two people. You have Jungle Boy and Adam Cole, baby. The rest are eh.
I don't know about that. However, I will say it was a banger of the match, as the Brits say.
It was a showcase for Jungle Boy, in my opinion.
He took most of the match.
He was in most of the match.
Yeah. He was getting beat up. He was beating people up.
You forgot he started with flippy stuff.
God bless. Here we go.
Lots and lots of flippy stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, it begins again. Please run through all of the great moves am that were I in
wrong?
This match.
No, but am I wrong?
He didn't start with flippy stuff.
He did too.
Oh, sure. What did he start with?
Flippy stuff. Are you deaf?
My fault. My fault. It's these
headphones. And then there were chops and kicks. With him and Adam Cole and him and Nick
Jackson, that is correct.
Yep.
All right. Let's just to go through the match quickly, there were some really good high spots. A couple of missed times. One that was scary and one that was hilarious. The missed time that was scary was Jungle Boy doing a step up Hurricanrana to the outside on Nick Jackson. He mistimed it, didn't get the legs around on the shoulders like he's supposed to, but Nick Jackson sold it. So if you weren't right on camera, you wouldn't have seen it. But the way that Jungle Boy landed, it seemed like maybe there was an injury that could have happened. It didn't. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The funny one, of course, was the Super Elite doing a 4-man power bomb, a la The Shield, on Luchasaurus. Kenny Omega is the base. And when they try and get him up, Kenny trips.
And falls on his butt.
He falls on his butt. And if you watch it, and I was enjoying it because they sold it and the audience gives them a you effed up chant, which was fine, but it was funny that these guys all sold it. You got Adam Cole, you know, doing exhausted face when he's actually trying to laugh. It was trying not to laugh. Let me say that correctly. But it was great. Kenny Omega is doing the heel bit as if you're giving me booze because I power bombed one of your favorites, but they're chanting you fucked up at him, which is hilarious.
Is that also when they were chanting Kenny No Balls again?
No, Kenny No Balls was at the beginning of the match. It was the beginning of the match. And if you noticed, did you notice that Kenny immediately grabbed his groin?
It's hard to miss. Hard to know.
It was really good stuff. It was absolutely great stuff. Okay, so the high spots continued. They did a good job. I wish Luchasaurus would have gotten back in the match for a little bit because that pretty much wrote him out of the match, even though it was a missed time spot.
Yeah, but he had some stuff in the middle. He took on the entire Super Elite at one point and did a really good job. Like everybody was in the corners. He was kicking and slapping and flying and jumping and.
Not slapping.
Oh, sorry. I mean, it slapped.
Oh, ew.
And then, you know, he got out. I mean, they did a good job with everybody getting a chance, other than Christian Cage. I wonder what was... I barely saw him.
Christian
I know
Cage
in the middle, but...
just had an Impact Tunnel match on Impact. He might be getting a little breather in this match.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to speak to it. I'm not anybody backstage, but... if I were Christian Cage, I'd probably want a breather too.
Yeah.
So, but it was a good match.
I mean, Luchasaurus did do his double choke slam thingy.
Right. And we don't have a name for it, but we should get one because he choke slams somebody onto someone else.
I like to call it the double choke slam thingy.
Oh, of course.
So, if Luchasaurus, if you're listening,
yep.
It's all yours, buddy.
Yep. Double chokeslam thingy.
We had a whole bunch of dives. You forgot all the dives. I think everyone dove except for Adam Cole.
There was a dive sequence where everybody went out. I mean, and Kenny Omega even got to break out the Terminator bop, bom, bom, bop, bom bit, which is always good.
Right.
But when Adam Cole's turn was to get the dive, people are waving him on. The Young Bucks are waving him on. Come on, we'll hold him up for you. He goes off the ropes and then stops in the middle of the ring, fingers up in the air. Adam Cole, baby. The whole audience gets it. They're all with it.
Yeah.
He does the cheering himself on thing, and then Luchasaurus choke slams him for his trouble. It was really funny.
Yep.
That's the thing about these guys. They get some really good comedy bits on top of some of the best athleticism in all of AEW.
Right. And then towards the end, there was a V-trigger. Right? Omega.
Yes, that broke up the double team move that the Jurassic Express like to do.
Right,
yes.
And then Bryan Danielson does his little run of taking out the Super Elite.
Correct.
And then there was a triple kick from Adam Cole and the Young Bucks.
Yeah, Kenny Omega had trapped Bryan Danielson's leg while Bryan Danielson is doing his yes kicks. I don't know what they're calling them right now, but the yes kicks. And then on the final one, he traps it, the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, triple kick, triple super kick.
Right. And then Jungle Boy comes in and they do a four-way, hold on, I wrote this down, BTE trigger from the Super Elite on Jungle Boy.
Adelaide, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be a color commentator soon. You're going to get it all.
I'm telling you.
You're getting it all. Getting the play-by-play knowledge.
So the Elite win, and moving on to the next one.
Absolutely.
Well, we had a promo-filled section.
Yeah, this is the promo section of the show.
So it started off with Jon Moxley just chatting about being in a ladder match and how, I don't know. I'm not sure what he was saying.
Philly's his city.
Uh-huh.
This is his company.
His kid is crazy. She's 3 months old.
Right. Philadelphia is his city. AEW is his company. And that's his belt. That's the vignette that says, I'm back in the main event scene.
Yeah. That's cool.
I liked it.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And I hope that all of them get little vignettes, like, you know, for the ladder match, just so I can, you know, make comment on it.
And then we had CM Punk came out, not his best.
No, not his best promo, but I think the crowd is, you know, I think they wanted something big and they didn't get that big thing, so they didn't give him what he wanted.
Well, I'm not sure he had anything big to get. I mean, he jumps in the crowd, he does his thing. He said if they're not tired of the Love Fest, he's definitely not tired of the Love Fest.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. So when you've got a group of people and CM Punk, you know, the whole cult of personality thing, when you've got a character that engages with you fundamentally and deeply, you see him on TV, you want to connect with him more. So then when you see him live, you want that big, beautiful reaction that you got, that white internal light that made you feel so good.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get that right away because he doesn't give that until you give him something. Because that's the way the performance goes. It's a live show. So he didn't get it. He didn't give it. They didn't give it to him. So unfortunately, it's kind of a spiral in that way.
Yeah, so we talked about...
Sorry, folks. That's just a little bit of social philosophy. Apologies for that.
So you talked about how he used to live there and trained there and was there for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was happy to be back and blah-bitty-blah, something, yippity-skippity.
You were not a fan
finally,
of his promo.
No, I was not. Finally got to the point about giving them cheesesteaks because he screwed it up and said cheesecakes.
Yeah, he
meant
did say cheesecakes. Yeah.
He says, I'll either buy you cheesesteaks or I'll wrestle tonight, which is setting up for the match he's going to do for Rampage that is taped tonight.
Which I enjoyed because it pulled back the curtain and said, look, we're going to tape Rampage. We tape Rampage.
Yeah.
We do it on this show. You guys can watch me tonight. And I think it was a good promo for that.
Two things. He said he's going to wrestle Daniel Garcia.
Daniel Garcia is, for fans that are really into sort of the indie, really good version of the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, Daniel Garcia is the next run on that. He absolutely is. He was almost out of wrestling, and he came back and has just been amazing.
I have no idea who he is.
You do. You've seen him. He's been out with 2.0. He had the Darby Allin and Sting match. Don't worry about it. You'll
see about that on Friday.
Yeah, it'll be a decent match.
And then at the end, oh, we did talk about his shoes.
His Jordans.
Did everyone like my shoes while he was in there? He had red Chicago style Air Jordans.
Yep.
So at the end of his little promo, he gave them away to a kid in the audience who is dressed like Orange Cassidy and sold like Orange Cassidy. That kid was so cute. That was awesome.
He did, though. And by the by, you called the clothes that he gave away really well.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yep, not going to try and go play-by-play on clothing. Got it. We'll let you do that.
Here's where we take a turn, because it is not getting any better for me. I did not like the next segment, which was Arn Anderson, who for some reason is outside of Cody's house like an effing stalker. Why? You left Cody. You left him. Why are you there?
Well, I'm going to get social on this. It's because the fan base was engaged, thoroughly engaged with Arn Anderson last week.
Were engaged with a gun, with the comment.
Again, there was a lot of hypermachismo happening, and so they were engaged. Now you can't dump Cody and do that, because then that makes Cody look weak. Since everybody's engaged, you have to make Cody now look like a redemptive hero. You have to make him look like he's seeing the light, that Arn is trying to tough love him into the light.
Okay, tough love him by leaving him the F alone and letting Cody figure it out for himself. That's what I was looking forward to, an all alone Cody Rhodes. Yes, please, I'll have some more of that. I will not and do not enjoy the Arn Anderson outside of Cody's house, burning one of his suits, saying Cody is too Hollywood now, calling Cody outside, telling Cody he has to get rid of his tie, throw the tie in the fire. And Cody's like, oh, we don't have to do this. And then Arn smacks Cody. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trampling over the one line that was actually good. Arn, what are you doing here? Are you here to shoot me?
That was actually a pretty good line.
Sorry.
That was a nice little callback line.
But anyways.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that this one, as far as segments, if I was going to give it a grade, a rating, or anything, this one doesn't do very well. I don't disagree with you. I think that the storyline-wise, it's a very good idea to have Cody descend into everybody walking away from him.
Then and walk do it by away.
Himself. No, I was agreeing with you.
Yes.
But unfortunately, again, the engagement turns how this is going to go. That's how the story goes. Not to let too much out of the bag here, but when the audience likes something, the talent reacts to it.
Right, but Arn can do that with Lee Johnson or anybody else in the Nightmare Faction. Bring everybody in and leave Cody out in the cold.
I don't disagree with you.
That is a better... Hey, Khan, dude.
Tony Khan.
Tony, buddy, my pal.
Yeah, you got his name right.
We're close.
Yes.
He's listening.
I understand that, yes.
If you need a writer, and I think you do, hit me up. I'm happy to help. I'll do it for free for a little bit and see how good I am.
All right. That's fine. What else did we have in the promo setup?
Arn smacks Cody, and Cody throws the tie in the fire, which I guess means Cody's turned... I don't know what it means. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we're going to have to let
this
one play out.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Yes, that sounded like bated breath.
That was sarcasm.
Yes, it was.
In case that didn't come across.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I take it back. Last episode, I said you sounded like you were being sarcastic. Now I know what it sounds like on radio when you're being sarcastic. Adelaide, come on.
Sorry, that's how I feel.
All right. This
is my opinion. We like what we like, which means we don't like what we don't like, and I don't like it.
Fine. Yep. But at least they gave it to you in the first hour, so no big deal, right?
We'll see. You throw anything else in here, Tony, I'm calling you. All right, let's see what's next.
Sammy Guevara debuts his new sparkly belt.
It was pretty. It sparkled.
Of course. They all get their customized TNT title belts, which is pretty cool. We're very happy about that.
Yes.
So Sammy's obviously, you know, he's getting love. Look, I have gotten people that question me on my Sammy Guevara commentary. He doesn't work as a babyface. He still doesn't work as a babyface. Bobby Fish, don't get me wrong, never was the biggest Bobby Fish fan, but he's a great. He's a very intense opponent. So when you're talking about an opponent to have, he's a good one to have. Unfortunately, he's a mid-carder to me, and I'm so sorry to say that about anybody, especially since I'm not in the business. But, you know, he's not someone I want to watch in a main event.
I know this is going to surprise you.
Yes.
I don't know who Bobby Fish is.
Bobby Fish used to be in...
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
They did a good intro. I kind of got the idea. Yeah, okay.
Oh, no. Bobby Fish's intro was awesome.
It was really good.
Yeah, it's graphics, kinda
introduced
music,
you to who solid. He was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it started out with chops.
Nice.
And kicks.
Oh, God. So good. You're killing it.
Woohoo! And then flippy stuff.
Okay.
Take it away.
Honestly, it was not a paint-by-numbers match. They're very creative in the ring. They're both phenomenal wrestlers. Bobby Fish going with the MMA side, going with his kickboxing side. They're trying to put him over as sort of this intense striker. I like him for that.
Yeah.
So that worked out greatly.
Yeah.
Greatly. That just worked out well.
Oh, I heard great. Did you greatly it?
I greatly'd.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about that. We're gonna leave that in, but that's only because I just don't feel like going back and fixing it.
I understand completely.
So, all jokes aside, it was a very good match. Sammy Guevara proving he's really top shelf when it comes to guys' athleticism and creativity in the ring. He really hits moves better than, I'll say, 90% of wrestlers out there, and especially 99% of wrestlers his age. He's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, there's some good... in the beginning, Sammy was on the top rope, and Bobby kicked his calf or the rope. I'm not sure. I thought it was the rope, but they said it was the calf. Either way,
yeah, I think it was
made
a calf.
Sammy fall, which was good. It was a good spot.
It was a good spot.
And then they had another spot, again, with Bobby kicking Sammy off the top rope onto the apron, and he, like, folds in half. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was definitely a good spot. Again, Bobby Fish sort of being an aware wrestler with good striking and good awareness, good spatial awareness in the ring, it really sold it well. Now, a lot of the fans already know who Bobby Fish is. Bobby Fish has been with WWE for, what, 5 years? So, or 4 years. So everybody knew who he was.
Except for me.
But he did a fantastic job of sort of getting himself over with this new build-up gimmick. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it a great deal.
I don't know if the fans there enjoyed it. There was a couple of chants for Let's Go Sammy, and I get that.
Yeah.
I think they popped for a few of the kicks and a few of the
moves. Spots were good. You got the Sammy spot where they're chanting Sammy, but
yeah, the Spanish fly that was
that short arm or that ripcord Spanish fly thing, that was amazing. Again, Sammy Guevara showing that he's got talent. Bobby Fish showing he can go with a guy like a Sammy Guevara. Yeah. These things, they're never wasted on me, but unfortunately. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it once only, and I'm not going to jump in on it. I'm not going to drill down. Sammy Guevara lowers the TNT title status. He makes it a mid-card title because, in my opinion, he's only a mid-card wrestler.
Look, you go from the God or the Messenger of God.
The Redeemer.
Redeemer to Sammy Guevara. Yeah, I don't know who could have picked up that mantle.
Well, think about it this way.
And kept it where it was.
Well, you got Cody Rhodes, you got Brody Lee.
No,
hold on a second. Yeah. You got Cody Rhodes, you got Brody Lee. You have Cody Rhodes again.
Yeah.
You have
Darby
Allin, very good. And you got Miro.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, all of those guys are main event guys that held the TNT title.
But they're trying to push Sammy. I just don't think...
Right, but they think that the title elevates Sammy. Sammy actually lowers the status of the title.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm not going to go deep on it. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Because as much as the fans love to watch him do these really fun stuff, but...
Like Sammy does the... Oh, gosh. GTH.
Nice. Yes, absolutely. Got it right. First try.
And wins the match.
Yes.
And I thought that was over, but then, no, out comes the American top team sauntering to the ring. Not running in. I just want to stress, it's not a run-in. It's a saunter.
Fine, yeah. So American Top Team and Dan Lambert come to the ring after the match. Paige Van Zandt in the most 80s...
Outfit
I have seen in years on a girl. you know, puts her hands up like, oh, pay attention to me. And then, you know, Scorpio Sky runs in behind Sammy and hits him, you know, and they do a beatdown angle.
Yeah.
Where Junior Dos Santos, looking like a legitimate beast, just lays down on Sammy Guevara. I mean it in a wrestling kayfabe way.
Yeah.
Junior Dos Santos, good looking enough, and is tall, 6'3", 6'4", built great. He looks like your wrestling heel. He's going to work that way,
I think. Does he look like a wrestling heel, or does he look like an MMA meathead?
Well, I mean, he looks like an MMA meathead, but he's actually a pretty nice guy and pretty charming. So I'm thinking that'll get over.
Okay.
And Cesar Bononi, you get that angle eventually with AEW if he goes in.
So. Yeah. And then, you know.
Ty Conti, that whole thing. The whole Brazilian angle is going to be good.
I'm not sure why all of them had to come to the ring so that Scorpio Sky could do the beatdown. I think it could have just been Junior Dos Santos, Dan Lambert, and Scorpio Sky. I think that would have been enough because Sammy was in the ring all by himself.
It's true. Yeah, you didn't really need anything else for that.
Then Fuego del Sol comes running down to save his friend, which is cool. And then they're beating down on Fuego del Sol and correct. Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
And then the music hits.
Oh, Judas hits, and the place...
Judas in my mind.
The place goes bananas.
Yeah. So Jericho and Hager run down to help Sammy and Fuego del Sol.
Yes.
And then American Top Team leaves. They start up the ramp.
Whoa.
I'm
Don't
sorry.
Skip over the fact...
I'm so sorry.
...that Chris Jericho goes into the ring, goes after Junior Dos Santos... Hits Junior Dos Santos, and Junior Dos Santos sells for him as if he just got hit by a big, meaty guy and goes out of the ring like a scared heel. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. All right. I'm sorry.
That
this
was
whole
awesome.
Time, I want you to understand this whole time, it was so fast, so quick that Jericho's music is still playing. Judas is still playing.
Correct.
In the background.
Yep.
And then they're all on the ramp at this point, and Dan Lambert starts yelling at Clouds again to stop the music. and the crowd keeps singing, which was awesome.
It is. It absolutely is. Even the MMA guys are trying not to like smile at how cool it is.
Well, and then Dan Lambert actually does a good job when it's like a spit. Anyways, moving on. He's like, fine, whatever. Keep singing. It'll end eventually. That kind of like chatter. And then it does finally end. And he finally gets to the point, in my opinion, that, in Miami, they take care of business. That's their home turf. And that he's challenged Jericho in the Inner Circle.
Right.
With American Top Team and Scorpio
No, it's
Sky.
The Men of the Year.
Yeah,
it's
the Men of the Year with Junior Dos Santos.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. Which is going to be a good
in
match.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. In Miami, it's going to be a very good match if Junior Dos Santos... looks there like he looked here. Just like a guy that's going to get carried, but does a couple of big man spots. I think it'll be great.
I understand all of that. I don't. And then somebody's going to be the bodyguard. I forgot his name.
Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, Jorge. So, look.
King of the streets.
I don't even mind Jorge there. Like, I don't care that he's going to be there or he's not going to be in the match. I have no idea what's going to happen, which is fine. I just don't understand why there was like... the group of them.
Intimidation?
He was one man in the ring. One man.
They were intimidating the one man.
Okay. Anyways. It was better than the last one, but still.
It was better. It was a good run-in.
It was a good run-in. When Jericho got there.
All right. Let's go to the next match.
And then we had the Acclaimed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there was a vignette with the Acclaimed. These guys are, honestly, they are over in sort of an interesting way. Like, they're definitely dark and dark elevation wrestlers. But when they're on Dynamite, nobody really gets upset that they're there. They're not a piss break match.
Fun.
They're a fun group to have. They're good wrestlers, super talented. Anthony Bowen. I mean, please give that kid respect. That man is amazing.
So they're going to go for the tag team titles on Rampage.
Yes. And Bowen says that the Lucha Brothers are Scooby-Doo villains.
I know. Because
of the masks.
Good. Yeah.
That's good stuff, actually.
So that was the end of that. Let's see what's next.
Fine. I want to say it.
Oh, go ahead.
All right, let's see what's next.
All right. Good job. Exciting. Starting off with a new belt. So Tony Schiavone is in the ring with Aubrey Edwards.
Aubrey Edwards.
And she's holding a new belt. What is this new belt, you ask?
The TBS Championship.
But not just the TBS championship. It's a woman's belt.
It is a woman's championship. I believe I broke this news, obviously.
Yes, for sure.
I think it was the last week or week before?
I think it was last week.
All right. So very excited about this. So when the show goes to TBS on January 5th, they will have the crowning match on it. The tournament to crown the new TBS champion will start soon. I mean, I don't know what soon is. Probably around Full Gear.
I have no idea.
I think that's probably right about when they'll start it.
They didn't really say. They just had the belt shrouded, and then Aubrey holds it up, unshrouds it, holds it up. And I have to tell you, I love it.
It was nice. It's a very good looking belt. Definitely a better reveal than the original TNT title reveal last year.
That's not fair.
No, it isn't. It isn't. There were no crowds. Yeah. It was a
COVID.
Bad look.
Everything was at that point, nobody was working except for me, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you might've been the only person working.
Yeah.
I think peacocks weren't as shiny because they couldn't deliver them the colors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was
pretty bad.
It was during that.
However, TBS title, shiny, pretty. It's got the TBS title. The TBS symbol right on it, that little block that they put in there. So it looks very good.
It was nicely done.
Yeah. It's actually looks better than the original women's title reveal.
I'm not going to lie. It looks better. I'm not saying that.
It did.
So then we must apologize. In the beginning, when we went over all the matches, we missed one.
Yes.
Clearly, because
we did.
The next thing we got was JR with Darby.
Yes. And so JR and Darby sat down. Darby was very conversational, sort of putting over this matter of factness of his life and what happened with his uncle, which I'm not going to get into it because it's kind of a dark place and that's not where I am.
Yeah,
right,
but
now.
Mostly it was because it was why do you paint your face? What JR was asking.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
And so Darby says he paints half of his face because he feels half dead inside.
Right, which is about the most emo thing you can say.
100.
So, again, very matter of fact, very conversational. It is setting up the whole MJF feud. I think that it's an okay sit down. It could have been better. We'll see what happens.
I know. That's a rough one. Anyways, he just says that Max won't win because he can't get to Darby mentally or physically because Darby knows his dude, essentially.
Yeah.
I've met you before. You're nothing new, but Max has never met anyone like Darby.
Which was actually a really good narrative stroke. Yeah.
And then that was the end. And then it went right into the match that we forgot to talk about. Yeah, bonus. You're welcome.
Darby Allin versus Nick Camarado of the Nightmare Factory.
With QT Marshall on the outside along with Sting on the outside.
Correct. It was really good little man, big man match.
Oh, it was definitely a David and Goliath match.
Yeah. I mean, Darby Allin starts in the very beginning, in the middle of his intro with his music, and dives to the outside onto Nick Camarado, who's already on the outside, and just begins the beating. Camarado can't get control of him, can't make him submit to his power, until Darby tries one of his bigger, hey, I'm going to stop him, that flip over stunner that he does, which unfortunately Camarado's not beat up enough for him to just sell that.
Right.
So he stops and the power slam starts, and then he starts getting, then he starts beating up Darby. Unfortunately, we go into picture in picture.
Right.
And then, you know, most of the good stuff is no commentary. However, in picture in picture, I get to witness Nick Camarado full speed run in chest first into the top turnbuckle. Oh my Lord, that looked vicious. I was stunned by it.
Yeah, this match was a lot of really good moments and a lot of good back and forth.
Now, I could comment on how the match structure broke down, but honestly, just a David and Goliath match. Big man spots that were good. Darby Allin does high spots very well. And at the end, he actually wins it with a coffin drop onto Nick Camarado's back while Nick Camarado's on all fours. Pretty good ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Darby's in the ring celebrating, and Sting comes in to, like, you know, be part of it. And QT Marshall sneaks
to
up.
To cheer on his boy. You know, when his son wins the big game, you know how it is.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, of course.
Well, Darby Allin's mixed race. He's half Sting, half normal human being. All emo.
Yeah, so anyways, QT Marshall sneaks up behind Sting and does some diamond thingy.
Oh, God bless
Dime. Natalie. I heard diamond and stopped.
Of course, of course. I understand you I'm do sorry. Like diamonds.
It's
I
my birthstone.
Oh, is it?
It is.
So what month?
April.
So when you're born in April, it's diamond?
It is.
Oh, okay. Bad segue, but let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called the Diamond Cutter, made famous by Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh.
Yeah, that was his move.
Neat. And then Sting totally no-sells.
Like, gets up. I know. He gets right
he
up.
He did a total, I'm Sting, and got up. Mm-hmm. And did a scorpion death drop.
You know what? Sometimes I think you're falling off the cliff and you learn how to fly. You do a great job.
I told you, they lost me at Diamond. I stopped listening.
I'm
not going to stop listening when somebody says a scorpion death drop. I want to know if there's a scorpion in my presence and if I have to jump on something.
All right. There was
ever vigilant.
Ever vigilant of random scorpions in Florida.
You never know.
Of course.
Amazing. Then we had a Dark Order.
We did have the Dark Order, a little vignette in the back. We're all
cute.
On the same page.
There's no leader. We're all going to make group decisions. Bray Wyatt, I'm calling you. I mean, Wyndham Rotunda, you're up.
All right. So they've basically announced that they're not going to do a leader to the Dark Order, that they're going to vote on everything.
It was funny.
It was great. Anna Jay brings them all to the vote again. But of course, John Silver does say that Alan Angels needs to put on his mask again because he's entirely too ugly.
Which then he says, well, people say I look like you. And he's like, you don't look like me. You just have a bald head and a beard. You look like
Stu Grayson.
Yeah.
Born and bred for combat.
And then they start, you know,
they bicker about that.
It's funny.
Yeah. The vote is hands up. But instead of hands, they do the Dark Order claw. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I like it very much. So then,
then we get Tony Schiavone.
Yes.
In the ring.
Yes.
With Dante Martin.
Yes. Dante Martin sporting a new shirt that says Inhuman with, I guess, backflip poses.
I guess
of
so.
Dante Martin. I didn't really get a good look at the shirt.
I mean, he is inhuman.
Dude, that
kid
is. Man's
like 8 feet tall and flips like no other.
He's like 5'11", and you know.
You know, what's funny is I always think he's like really, really tall. And then, well, we'll talk about what happened next, and then I'll explain why
the comment that he will fight anybody in the locker room. I gave Kenny Omega a run for his money. I will wrestle anyone.
And wouldn't you know it, the lights go out.
Uh-oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Then the drama is real. And when the lights go out, if you're a fan of AEW, you know what's coming. You're either getting a new reveal, but at this point, it's become Malakai Black's signature.
Yeah.
He comes into the ring wearing the
antler. No, he doesn't come into the ring. I'm sorry. You're setting it up wrong. The lights are off. The lights pop back on. Boom. Guess who's there? Right behind you, Dante. Malachi Black.
Right.
And these are the moments. This is the moment where I went, oh, you're not as tall. Either you're not as tall as I thought you were, or Malachi Black is huge.
Malachi Black, I believe, is 6'3".
Okay. He looked ginormous standing next to or behind Dante Martin because he's so like skinny little. But I thought he was tall little.
Right.
Yeah, no.
So, okay. Skinny little, tall little. Okay. All right. That's great. So.
Well, I can't say he's little because he's not little. But he's skinny little. You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, he's skinny little, but he's tall. He's lanky.
Love it. So Malachi Black is wearing his antler headdress. He takes that off, puts it down. He was wearing a gator, like a neck gator, so just a face mask. He pulls that down, immediately spits black mist in Dante Martin's face.
And then kicks him.
Hits him with a black mask, which they haven't called the black mask, but they haven't come up with a name for it yet.
And then he says, in
honor of Adelaide Laurie, which is a fact.
Thank you.
He must have been listening. He says, the House of Black accepts.
Yes.
So.
Well, first the lights go back out, and then they pop back on again, and Dante Martin's out of the ring.
Yeah, he's rolled
out. He's rolled out, kicked out, pushed out, whatever. So Malachi Black is standing there, and he's like, House of Black accepts. Awesome. Awesome.
And then he walks out.
Now, that's how you tell a story.
Now, granted, you'd think that, and I'm just going to speak about how much I love the internal logic of AEW. You'd think that someone placed a microphone in the ring for Malachi Black, but actually what happens is that when Tony Schiavone is escaping the ring as quickly as possible,
right,
when he sees Malachi Black, he leaves his microphone just to get the heck up out of there.
Yeah, because they're like, hey, get out of the ring.
I'm going to tell you right now, I love the internal logic. Yeah, they just keep it going. It's little segments. So you never have to say, oh, well, why was that there? Or why did this happen? They give you the setup and the payoff. And I think it's great.
And I just want to point out, intimidating as heck. And only one person. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Just saying.
That, I mean, you know, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
All right. And we'll see you after the next match. Well, that was a large section. We're going to go through some things real quick.
We are.
Let me tell you that the match, very good. We're going to get to that in a moment. First things first, we come back from the commercial break. We get absolute Ricky Starks, the FTW champion. Now, this is explicit, and I've already sworn, so I'm going to go ahead and tell any of the listeners that maybe don't know, FTW was Taz's belt that he started, and it stands for Fuck the World.
Okay.
Now, in AEW, I'm pretty sure it's Fight the World, but yeah.
Here we are.
Now, Ricky says that he has the FTW mentality, that this belt was made just a few miles down the road in South Philadelphia, and that he is unlike the previous FTW champion. Now, he was going to have a match. They're booing, and I think they might be booing him and not Brian Cage, but it also feels like they might be booing Brian Cage.
I don't know. Yeah. He says something about, you know, Brian wasn't there. Brian wasn't there because he didn't show up to work.
Like he normally doesn't. Yeah. Right. That's what he was, that's implying that. Yeah.
Right. And that if he had showed up, that he would have challenged him to a Philadelphia street match.
Right. Street fight match. Yes.
Yeah. Street fight match.
Yep.
And then, wouldn't you know it,
Brian Cage, the machine,
comes out.
Yep. Does show up.
Runs out. And he ran.
He did run. He was not messing around.
And Ricky tried to get out of the ring, but didn't really get out of the ring. And then Brian Cage just kind of starts to beat up on him. And Ricky Starks gets pulled out by Team Taz,
who must have been running directly behind Brian Cage.
Not as fast, clearly.
Not nearly as fast. Because there's a good 5-6 seconds of Ricky getting his butt kicked for that.
So I guess next week there will be a match.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see that as a Dynamite match. I don't necessarily.
It's Friday Rampage.
Is it this week?
It's Friday Rampage.
So it's this week's Rampage? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to get that on Rampage.
Yep. So, that was followed up by just a little vignette of some women wrestlers talking about putting their names in the hat for the tournament for the TBS championship belt.
That means that's probably going to happen sooner than later. I don't think AEW is not much for long teases. They might do a week or two, but like I don't see them taking a very long time. So I'm thinking the tournament's probably going to start before.
Yeah, Rampage, they had four. It was year. They had Thunder Rosa do a little something, and then Julia Hart in her cute little voice. Ruby Soho, top notch.
Yep, absolutely.
Followed by Jade Cargill.
What?
I want to meet her. First, I want her to train me because my God, her body is just. Oof.
Amazing.
There's no fat on that woman. It's all muscle. 100% muscle.
Yeah.
but just, I want to help her. That bitch. That's it. That's it.
So she says that she wants to.
That bitch show. No, honey. That bitch show.
Yeah. So. That's what she's saying. She's going to churn those initials too, which, you know, if they put it on her, I'm okay with that being the gimmick. But I think that maybe you want a baby face to hold it first.
Ruby.
I have no problem with Ruby
Soho.
I have no problem with Ruby Soho holding it. I do believe that maybe you give it to someone who's been there a little bit longer.
No, you're going to have a tournament. Ruby.
All
give
right.
it some clout.
All right. Once we see everybody that's in the tournament, me and Adelaide will absolutely do our predictions on who's going to win, and we will do it every week beforehand. We will also do who we want to win the whole thing and be the champ.
I think I just did that.
She did. No spoilers, though. We're going to look at the tournament, and she's going to stick with Ruby, and I will actually pick the winner.
Okay, we'll see.
After that, we got
the actual match.
We got a match. Hikaru Shida with Serena Deeb. I know that sounded corny, but I don't care. I love me some Hikaru. I love Holy Shida. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I've loved her since before she became the women's champion and since.
I thought it was a good match.
It was a very good match.
The crowd was into this match, I think, more than they were into the Sammy Guevara match.
I think they were. I will agree with you on that. Serena Deeb showing that she's a great technical wrestler.
Yes.
And Hikaru Shida is
doing the same.
Well, she's a homegrown talent for them, even though she started in Joshi Wrestling in Japan.
Yeah.
But she has organically gotten over. The whole Holy Shida thing was an organic chant. So that's really... It's turned into something. The match was very good, very strong, very technical, good strikes from both, with Serena Deeb being the better mat technician. I will say, did not see the end coming, but I'm not annoyed.
Yeah, but did you see the airplane spin going?
No, I didn't. Hikaru Shida does a front face chancery and does a spin and to a face plant, which was fantastic. It's a very, very cool thing. So she's just holding on to Serena Deeb. But although Serena Deeb is all of, you know, a buck 05. So.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, a little easier, but no, it was fantastic. It was really, really good match.
It was a lot of very good back and forth kicks and their specific moves. I cannot. Falcon Arrow was one of them.
Nice.
I'm done.
Very good.
I'm tapping out.
All right. Serena Deeb.
No pun.
Works over the leg of Hikaru Shida for a while. And so sorry. At the beginning of the match, Aubrey Edwards is holding up a glass trophy saying that Hikaru Shida, with the Hikaru Shida's name on it and 50 wins. I believe that if she won it, she would get it. And I think that that's great. I think Serena Deeb saw it as a bit of an insult, went hard on the leg, and then hit her with the...
Detox.
The detox. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Adelaide.
I said I was out. I lied.
You did lie. You kicked
out. I held that in my back pocket.
Wow. Anna, two count just kicked out and showed something. Good stuff. Proud of you.
Thanks.
So, yeah, so she hit her with a detox, which is a sort of a double hammerlock face plant. Pretty cool. Then Sheeta kicks out. And Sheeta had tried to go for her katana, which is that tornado kick when you're down on your knees. She got it caught by Serena. Serena, that's what set up the detox. And after that, Serena just pounded on her knee and put her in the Serenity Lock, which is, it's like the Tequila Sunrise, but she sits it for hitting a little bit higher. If you're a wrestling fan, you know what the Tequila Sunrise is, but if not,
you hear white noise just like me.
It's Conan's old move, but moving
still
on.
Still white noise.
Moving on, Serena Deeb does that. Holds her in a very high post, and Hikaru Shida surprises everyone and taps out. Wow.
What?
Honestly, I liked it. I liked the ending. It's not what I would have done.
So,
but I liked it.
It set up Serena as being a heel.
Definitely.
And a good heel.
Fantastic heel.
Her face, how she played it, everything.
Yeah.
Amazing. We needed another heel.
In the women's division, definitely.
Yeah, in the women's division. I really hope that she stays and she does her thing. Because I think they thought Jade Cargill was going to be a heel. But I don't think she knows how to be a heel.
I mean, she can be that quintessential.
She's like
mean
the mean girl.
Girl,
right? Correct, right. But it doesn't really translate to being a heel. Like Serena Deeb is like, no, dude, I just effed you up so much, so I messed up your knee. You didn't win your 50 matches. Oh, and by the way, Aubrey, don't touch me. That was the move she did. Don't touch me. Goes outside of the ring, grabs the crystal trophy. Goes back in the ring and clocks Sheeta with the trophy and then stands tall over her. That is heel.
Yeah, and she got solid heel heat. I mean, the fans immediately started booing, did the right thing. I honestly think the fans were more into this match than the Sammy Guevara match.
I agree. And I thought it was
if Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida were going for the TBS championship and it was the final match in the tournament to determine the new TBS champion, I do not have a problem with it.
No.
This would be a very good match.
I like it.
We then have
Alex Marvez in a garage, I think.
It was definitely the garage.
With
yes.
Darby Allin, who's, I guess, leaving on a skateboard.
Got a skateboard back.
He's like,
Seattle.
Hey, Darby, hey, yo. MJF just said he wanted to match with you next week. Are you in? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm in.
I think that's more personality than Alex Marvez has ever had.
Okay, Tony Khan.
Good job.
Just saying.
Good job.
And then he's like, yeah, anytime, sure, I'll do it. And all of a sudden, there's a limo behind him. And who's in the limo?
Well, I mean, I don't know who's in the limo. I mean,
we all can guess who's in the limo. And Darby thought he knew who was in the limo because he turns the limo and he puts his skateboard down. And he's like, come on, with his little fingers.
Yeah, I think that might have been the mistake he made, was putting his skateboard down.
Oh, yeah, never put your weapon down.
No, I mean, you're going to get into a fight with a guy in a limo. You know guys that ride in limos are tough. Everybody knows that.
For sure.
That is a wrestling rule.
But while he's looking at the limo, a masked man.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Do you think Arn Anderson would have said, hold on to your skateboard?
Yes, of course. And then shoot him in the head so that his brain's all over the... I mean, the skateboard needs to have a pocket with a, what do you call it? A Glock.
Oh, got it. Got
it.
Isn't
that what
he
said?
He'll
pull out his Glock.
Yeah, definitely.
And spill his brains all over the concrete.
Oh, okay.
Same thing applies.
I totally understand and I agree.
Yeah.
But Darby Allin is, you know, straight edge, so maybe a big knife then.
Maybe a pink Glock. I don't know.
My Lord. All right.
No, because they're all, he's emo. Everything in emo needs to be black.
Right.
Right, his nails, his outfit.
Right.
Whatever. So, yes. I mean, it's already an emo gun. So pink would be too much.
Would be
something that, you know, I would, if I did guns, which I don't.
Seriously though, if you had a gun, would it be like sparkly? Would you like put like rhinestones in the handle?
What else would
that?
I do with it?
Fair.
I'd bedazzle it.
I can't believe that I even asked. It's so obvious now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sound like a fool.
Shadow box the bullets next to it and bedazzle them.
Oh, my goodness.
It'd be a piece of art.
I'm only laughing. You've tickled me. I'm only laughing because I'm picturing this bedazzled gun Glock, probably. Just because it's the one thing we're talking about. And a box of bullets that you've rhinestoned.
Yeah.
Oh.
That'd be amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, you popped me on that one. All right. So
then we get back to this garage melee.
Yeah.
I like the word melee. I'm not sure if anyone caught
good
that.
Word. Good word to use.
So as Darby is staring at the limo saying, come on, dude, get out. Someone, quote unquote, in a mask comes up behind him and hits him with a chair.
Yep.
And then somebody else takes the camera. No,
the guy that hit him with a chair takes the camera.
Oh, the guy being Sean Spears. I'm just saying.
He was wearing a mask.
True, but I know those eyes anywhere.
That was Sean Spears. You're not sure that was Sean Spears.
Totally Sean Spears. Right. And then three other guys, one jacked like no other, Wardlow.
You can't tell that it was Wardlow. He was wearing a mask.
True.
Wardlow. You're breaking kayfabe.
The really jacked guy who could be anybody at all in the world.
Yep.
Comes up in a mask with two other guys. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Also in masks. Gosh, don't know who they are.
Nope.
And then they start beating on Darby, throw him into this thing, whatever. And then another man who gets out of the limo, MJF. I'm sorry, he was masked as well. We do not know if it was MJF. But
he was wearing a suit. It could have been Andrade. A masked man in a suit. It could have been Andrade.
So MJF, I mean the masked man, comes up with the skateboard and uses it as a weapon and like chokes it, like holds it against his throat.
Against whose throat?
Darby's throat. And then he's like, we're out of here, and does that little twirly thing with his finger.
Good audio content, what you did there with the waving your finger in
y'all
the air.
Y'all saw it, didn't you?
Yeah, they
like
they
in
all,
your head, yep. You pictured my let's round them up motion with your finger in the air.
Yeah, great job. Great job.
And they all got into the limo. I mean, there's a certain amount of them that kind of look like the Pinnacle. I'm not saying it was the Pinnacle, but...
No, I don't think... I think that would be slanderous.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Just a thought. And so that was the end of that. And then what did we have next, Javier?
What did we have next? Next, we had Leo Rush. The man of the hour, LBO Leo.
Which I thought was pretty good. The only thing, don't hate me, people. Don't at me. But he was talking about bringing Dante Martin to new heights. Heights he's never seen before. You mean heights you've never seen before. He's probably got about 10 feet on you.
Oh my goodness. A short joke on Leo Rush. Wow.
You know.
All right. No, but it is a fact. Adelaide, you are actually taller than Leo Rush.
I am.
Yeah. But that notwithstanding, it is a play on the fact that Dante Martin does all that high flying stuff. So Leo could take him above that.
Oh. Well, I just stopped at the short joke, didn't I?
You really did.
All right. Well, there you go. Sorry.
All right.
Don't
regardless, I think the gimmick is good. I think that Leo's a very good wrestler. Now, granted, according to Leo Rush, he's retired from wrestling. So he might be unretiring from wrestling and actually getting in the ring again. But if his thing is that he's going to be a manager now and set up multiple people sort of on his brand doing the thing with him, I like it. I do like it. And I also like if Leo Rush is going to do sort of a take black kids under his wing and level them up. That's not a bad gimmick either.
Yeah. I mean, he just said he would guide him.
Yeah.
So
he's gonna have that match against Malachi
less like
Black.
A wrestler, more like a mouthpiece.
Right. Exactly.
Coach kind of thing.
Exactly. Which is what I wonder if Leo's just never going to get back in the ring, or maybe he's just not, has no, there's no plans for him to get back in the ring right now. And he's going to start building a stable, which I don't have a problem with him getting his own faction. He is a great mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Not that Dante Martin sounded bad in the ring, because he didn't.
No, he did good too. But, you know, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Although I honestly think that Dante Martin is a pure babyface, but maybe you can make him a heel. I don't know how you make a flippy kid a heel, but, you know, maybe Leo can figure it out. He's a heel.
We'll
he's
see
flippy
how it
as
goes.
Hell. All right. So now I guess it's the main event.
On to the next.
On to the main event. I am in a state where talking about the promo that happened before the main event is very difficult for me. So it was
Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. It was real quick. She was with Jamie Hayter and Rebel. It was very mean girl. I'm on the top, y'all on the bottom. So happy there's another belt so y'all can just mingle with yourselves down on below and I'll just stay up here. How's that? Did I sum it up?
Yeah, perfect.
Summed it up.
And then we got the casino ladder match. Now, it's not because I don't respect Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, but let's get into it.
All right. I think we should start from the beginning, so hold on to your bobby socks.
Fine.
All right.
All right.
So first person, Orange Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy. Where is my mind? And there was Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff there.
Second person, Pac.
Pac, the bastard. And he got in there, and it was like Orange Cassidy wanted to restart their pay-per-view match with the hand in the pocket.
Yeah.
Pac stopped that.
Yeah.
It stopped it all the way.
It was entertaining. It was very moments of great wrestling and then moments of silliness, and I really liked it.
Yeah, those two, I think the narrative and the long-term storytelling there is that Pac understands Orange Cassidy and that he's better than people give him credit for.
Yes. He's definitely the straight man.
So he doesn't ever let Orange Cassidy really get going. He shuts Orange Cassidy down. But Orange Cassidy gives Pac respect in the very beginning of the match. They start with a classic wrestling collar and elbow.
Yeah.
And don't go. Then they get into some more stuff. But they got right into the actual wrestling.
But Javier, you can't stop me in the middle of saying he's definitely the straight man without letting me finish.
Apologies.
Because then I sound like I'm talking about something else when I just mean he's the straight man to the comedy act that is Orange Cassidy.
Fact. Yeah. Yes. He is definitely the
he's trying Abbott. To get me in trouble. Y'all heard that.
It was a plot. All right. Well, you like plots.
So they had their fun, and then Andrade El Idolo comes out.
Nice. Your pronunciation is very good.
Thank you.
So Andrade comes out showing everybody why he's a damn good wrestler.
Oh, man. That move from the ropes to the ladder.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So he goes and he springboards into the ring onto the ladder that Pac is climbing in the middle of the ring and stops Pac from getting the chip. Andrade does a flip over dive to power bomb Pac. The thing about Andrade, and I say this a lot when it comes to babyfaces and heels and who should wrestle and how they should wrestle, lucha is different. Andrade is expected to do certain moves because he's a luchador, even though people don't realize that because he's been in the States for so long.
Yeah.
But he's definitely a lucha wrestler. And it's honestly, it's really good to watch. Next up
No. We cannot leave this segment until there's one move where Orange Cassidy has his hands in his pocket. Hands in his pockets. And he does some
twisty,
hurricane-y thingamabobby.
So he had tried to do the Stundog Millionaire on Pac, and Pac read that perfectly and put him in a backbreaker. Done. But when Andrade, who has not wrestled Orange Cassidy before, was up against Orange Cassidy, hands in his pockets, Orange Cassidy comes off the ropes, and instead of doing the Stundog Millionaire, he does a twisting hands in pockets and does a tornado. I guess that's not correct. It is a rotation Hurricanrana. So hands in pockets, he goes up onto Andrade's shoulders, does the spin around him, puts him in the Hurricane Rana, pulls him down with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah.
I've never seen it before.
It's cool.
It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Right. And then Matt Hardy comes out.
Matt Hardy. Excuse me. So that is everybody that's against Pac all in the ring.
Well, Matt Hardy's also against Orange Cassidy, and that's kind of how that went.
I meant Orange Cassidy, not Pac, but thank you for correcting that. That was true. So, yeah, and Orange Cassidy is, you know, he's doing well. There are some moments in there where it's like, wow, he's a really good wrestler. I think this match, if you're watching it for, you know, the people in the match and who else is in the ladder match, it's very good. I will say that Orange Cassidy does look very good in it.
Yeah, there were a lot of segments with these four men that they're very good. It was back and forth, ladders, jumping, going through things, making me nervous things.
I'm sorry, Adelaide, were there flippy things?
I'm pretty sure there were flippy things.
Just checking.
And floppy things.
Flippy and floppy. It is a main event.
Because somebody flopped on a table somewhere, so flippy and floppy.
Well, you know, it's a main event. You got to have the floppy.
You sure do. And with that said, out comes a not floppy man, Lance Archer.
Yeah, that's where the flippy and floppy stops working.
No, and the murder hawk monster arrives.
Yeah, and it comes out with Jake Roberts holding, I guess, a production assistant and just holding him, hands him to Lance Archer. Lance Archer just clobbers the poor kid. And then goes into the ring and clears it. Does the monster big man thing and clears the ring.
Yes.
Then goes up, but instead of climbing, and this is where the pacing got a little wild.
Well, there was some pacing in the middle. They kind of waited until there's like maybe 15 seconds left. And he kind of just stands there, not really goes up the ladder, even though he's by himself in the ring. Waiting for the next person, who is obviously
John Moxley.
There you go.
And then the wild thing plays, and Lance Archer, not being a dumb monster, jumps out of the ring, looking for where Moxley is coming through the crowd, and he meets him in the crowd, and they start brawling.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So then there's a lot more flippy, floppy.
Yes.
Jumpy.
Not so much. Everybody's pretty laid out. They're all pretty laid
laddery.
Out. A lot of ladder. And then
stuff.
I'm just jumping ahead now.
You are jumping ahead. I can't even set you up. You're just like, shut up. I want to get to this.
All right. All right. Fine. Set me up.
And then the Joker, who is
Hangman Adam Page.
So exciting.
It was exciting and actually kind of surprising. Was not ready for it.
I didn't even think of him, and I don't know why.
I don't know why I didn't think about him, because he's due to come back. He was ready.
Yeah. And this match is for what now?
This match is for a title shot at some later point against Kenny Omega. Or whoever the champion is at the time, but it will be Kenny Omega.
It will be Kenny.
So this is where AEW wins me back on the narrative of Hangman Page, where I say there's no buildup because Hangman Page has been gone for a while, and then Hangman Page comes back, wins this match, and I get to think,
perfect.
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 Let's just have the match we've been waiting on.
Yeah.
It got reset automatically. Now, here's the thing. You can build it right back up. You can build all the narrative and you can make this happen at full gear. And that's fine. It's fine. Or you have the match happen in the next 2 to 3 weeks before full gear. You have Kenny Omega beat Hangman Page. And then you set up another match for full
Everyone
gear.
Everyone who's listening to us is like, no.
I am the believer that there's
a... But that was a problem we had before. You can't have Kenny Omega beat Hangman Page because then he's lower on the win-loss record, has to build himself back. No, this is it. This is what... Do not drag this out. This is it.
Fine.
Thank you. Tony, are you listening?
All right, so I believe I am a fan of Hangman Page not being able to beat Kenny Omega yet.
That's me.
I like that narrative. I like the narrative that he gets up to the mountain and fails, even though everybody loves him and respects him.
But he's already failed.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it...
Ah, win. If you're going to win, win big.
I didn't say it couldn't work. Your way is right, and the fans will go home happy.
Yeah.
I think the other way, the fans go away sad, and it's bittersweet because, you know, there's something there. Because
you like drama.
I love the drama. I think it works.
You're like, build drama. Build.
How do you not like the drama?
I also like wins. Give them something.
Fine.
I'm going to take this brief moment just to tell you how brilliant some of AEW's writing is. Because we had a tiny little segment of the Dark Order going, hey, we're all a family now. We're all good. Meaning, we don't need a leader. And then who shows back up? Adam Page. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to be the leader. He's going to come back and unite them. They don't need him. So he can do his thing.
And that's the perfect time for him to come back.
And that is the perfect writing. Yeah. Well done. I give props where props is due. That was good.
That was very good. I think, yeah, that's solid writing. Yeah. One, I was just super happy to have him back. Here's a guy that when AEW started, he didn't move me that way.
Yeah.
But over the last 2 years, I've just gotten into him more and more. He's become the guy that I will follow into this. So, thinking this is a good narrative and let's let him win.
So here's the deal. We did not tell them what happened at the end of this match. There's a lot of flippy, a little floppy, a little ladders, a little la-la, a little loo-loo.
Your yada-yadas are very interesting.
And then, oh gosh, don't seriously. Hangman Page, out of nowhere, does a what?
The buckshot lariat.
Right.
Now, that's not before he does a version of the Deadeye on Pac off the top of a ladder.
True.
There were moments where you were like, someone's going to die.
I like to skip over these moments because my heart stopped and it hurt me and I'm going to have to see a doctor or a chiropractor tomorrow because that hurt my back. Nah.
Matt Hardy, yeah. Yeah. Just don't try and go back to your youth, Matt.
Oh, man.
That was 20-something years ago. You're good, buddy.
So I fast-forwarded it to the last bit.
Got it. Buckshot lariat
on Archer.
Lance Archer, yep.
Yeah.
Then he has a back and forth at the top of the ladder with Jon Moxley. And Moxley is like, yeah, I got him. But then he just looks and does a flop. A flop. It's an actual move.
A flippity floppity?
Not a flippity floppity. No, a flop.
No, see, it wasn't just a out of nowhere flop.
It wasn't out of nowhere.
It was beating back and forth where Hangman's right. Like, I'm so tired of beating you. I have to lay my head down on this ladder. And
Moxley looks like the guy that just won it. And we're all like, oh, okay. Well, he isn't going to win the casino ladder match. Or, sorry, Hangman's not going to win the casino ladder match because Moxley's holding his head up high and he's sort of cheering. And then he just and his eyes roll in the back of his head and he just falls off the ladder.
Flops off the ladder. I like that term better.
It is a flop pun.
Thanks. I made that up.
Yes, you totally did.
They're listening.
Yep. And it's just, it's narratively sound because Jon Moxley can sell it and just make you believe that it's a good way to go.
Right.
And it... Honestly, I thought it was magnificent.
And then I'm screaming at the TV for Adam, go get up the ladder.
And I've already written the narrative in my head that he's going to win it. And there's going to be a Kenny Omega match.
Well, he got up the ladder and got the casino chip.
Yep, the poker chip. And that's it.
That's it. He wins. So, contender.
Number one contender.
Yeah, baby.
That's not true. He has a guaranteed title match against Kenny Omega, but he's not technically the number one contender.
I don't care.
What I would very much like, a triple threat, but that's just...
No, me. Stop throwing shit into the wind. Stop it.
I like triple threats.
Just straight arrow this. Boom.
No, he doesn't do the Falcon Arrow.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. Well, that was the main event. We'll see you guys in a bit. Adelaide, what did you think of this show?
To be honest and to be fair, I thought it was good. I thought there was a lot of promos.
There were a lot of promos. There was an exceptional amount of promos tonight.
I say we take a couple of promos out and we let the Jungle Boy have his entrance and Adam Cole have his entrance. Start the show off strong. End it strong. I'm just saying.
It was a strong ending, though.
A great ending. It was good. What did you think?
I would have put this show at very good.
Very good.
Yeah, the
it's promos how you were, leave them. It's how you leave them.
Well, for me, the promos were a lot. They were excessive. I think that they were selling. They're setting up stuff. And for some reason, there's no pay-per-view coming up. So they're just setting up new narratives because it's the second anniversary. So it's a big deal to them. I liked a lot, if not all of it. I like the Men of the Year, American Top Team, Dan Lambert stuff. It does not work for you, but I actually like it. So it doesn't bring anything down for
me. Here's the deal. Keep all the promos, fine, but cut them all down 2 minutes. Entrances, bada boom, bada bing.
Okay, we'll agree that they needed the entrances. I will agree with that, 100%.
Just saying. I think they just got like all the promos out of the way before Rampage.
They did.
So, like, I feel like Rampage better not have any promos because I don't know who's left.
Well, all they do is their main event segment, really. There's no real promo.
There's generally that Mark Henry thing and a couple, like, a promo here or there. No promos. All wrestling. Rampage. Just saying.
All right. I'm not against that at all. So, you know what? I didn't talk about it when we did our intro.
Oh, right.
But we did get new microphones, and you guys are hearing them here and now. Tell me what you think, because I honestly think that they sound better.
Of course they sound better.
We sound professional-ish.
We actually have two.
Yes, we have two microphones, which is, you know, you're welcome.
Hooray. And you guys are the real winners here, because now we sound even better.
Absolutely.
So.
Now, was there any particular thing that stood out for me? Obviously, it's how you leave them. I love Tag Man Page winning. It worked for me, absolutely.
Great. That's good.
By you?
I also liked the Hangman Page. I liked all the wrestling. I just thought there was too many promos.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Well, guys, you can hit us up if you have any comments. Please email us at WLWLpodcast@gmail.com.
Correct. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for everything.
Please follow us. The more followers, like we said, we get to 50, and I'll do this for an entire match. Right? That's the
absolutely.
Deal?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It might even be like a watch-along.
Oh, yeah. No, because Full Gear is going to happen.
You can hear all of my knowledge just spewing out.
Oh, my goodness. So we'll get to 50, and then we'll go back down to 30.
most likely. But thank you very much. Let us know,
guys,
what you think in the email that Javier said, WLWWL podcast at gmail.com.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. On behalf of me, Javier Augusto, and Adelaide Laurie, this has been We Like What We Like.
Yay!